You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 269 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben, and it's hump day.
We're 12. It's hump day. 269.
And we are ready to have some fun, talk a little golf, talk a little live tour, talk a little collegiate golf.
Kyle, you know what tomorrow is?
What's tomorrow?
After they people listen to this on Wednesday?
What's that?
46, baby.
Happy birthday. Happy early birthday, Ben.
There you go.
46 years old. Holy cow.
What you getting me? You going to take me to Moon Golf and take me shopping?
I'm going to take you to Moon Golf and then buy me
a couple of Swanee shirts.
I'm going to take you to Moon Golf and buy myself something. How about that?
Okay.
I may give you your initial deposit. Well, you've already blown that, but we'll create a new email. We'll create a new email.
I blew that a long time ago.
We'll create a new email. Go to Bet Online and do a coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV, and get you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That way you can start racking them and stacking them for March Madness. You guys got to get your account set up. Basketball is heating up. Conference tournaments are literally like a week away. Then the NCAA tournaments, you know, obviously right after that. So, get logged in, get signed up, and let's have some fun. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Okay.
Hey,
so,
just a disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
On that deposit that you know, that you basically double up. After you have a few of these, don't go to the blackjack table. Keep hitting those numbers and betting those lines. Stay away from blackjack.
They do have a – because
I'm not going to tell you how I know that that's the case. Just going to say.
Or, hey, you know what? You hit a big – you win a big game, go play you one-handed blackjack.
Just play one hand. That's the problem.
You got to have self-discipline.
Pulled all Andrew Kozan. Right. I was there all night. I was there till like 2:30 in the morning.
This is sort of a conversation about self-discipline. So David Faherty, Live Tour famous, you know, famous PGA Tour announcer. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows what he looks like. Everybody knows what he sounds like. Over the weekend, he makes a claim mid-round about Greg Norman that really ruffled some feathers. Obviously, it was very pro Greg Norman.
Wasn't ruffle feather. It pissed some people off.
Yeah, bad. So, you know, a little bit dramatic. You know, not a little bit. These people have been extremely dramatic. But anyway, during the mid, like the middle of a round, Greg Norman comes on the broadcast and, you know, talking about the golf, talking about this, talking about that. And as he's leaving, David Faherty makes the statement, you know, that man changed the game. We looked it up. He said he's probably the most recognizable athlete of the late 80s and 90s. Or maybe he just said 80s and 90s. But he said most recognizable, probably the most, not probably one of the most, not probably a top 10. He said probably the most recognizable athlete of the 80s and 90s. Keep in mind, Wayne Gretzky, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, which Michael Jordan's a little bit later in the 80s, but still 80s and 90s.
Still 80s. That's what he said, 80s and 90s. And the 90s was all Jordan.
Yeah. So
Gretzky, Michael Jordan, and Bo Jackson had a cartoon done after them. So did Hulk Hogan. That's what you and I were able to get up on Saturday mornings and watch.
So here's my thing. I would think Greg Norman – worldwide would be more recognizable than Wayne Gretzky. Worldwide.
See, I don't know, European countries love hockey.
Do they?
That's where the ratings are up. Like that's where, yes, we just did a study on this on the radio show. It's talking about the top 10 most watched sports, and hockey's up there, like top five.
I can't imagine that's the truth. Like they don't even play hockey in
Finland, Sweden, and Norway. Yes, they do.
Technically that is Europe. You don't think about it. I feel like that's just like Northwest Russia. But
you know what? Asking you about geography, I'm not even going there.
I guess you're right. Those countries would still be considered.
Yes.
Europe, but that's it. They don't play hockey in France, do they?
Yes.
I mean, like not like not like as kids growing up. Like they have a national team. Like we have
Switzerland,
a national...
the Swiss Alps. That's all they do is play hockey there.
Okay,
quit digging this hole.
I'll give
Denmark,
you that one. I'll give you that one.
Denmark also has a national team. Turkey has a. Come on, stop.
Turkey.
Just stop, Kyle.
They don't play hockey in Turkey.
Just stop. Yes, they do. Just stop.
No, they do not play hockey in Turkey. No,
yes, just stop.
They don't only play soccer in Turkey. I just don't.
I'm just telling you, numbers don't lie. It's a top 10 sport, okay? But so is cricket. How many cricket matches have you watched?
Well, you know what? You know who else is big around the world and played golf around the world and won like 100 golf tournaments around the world, like in Asia, Australia, Africa, like who I mean, played everywhere? Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Greg Norman. And he had a look that was different.
He had a style that was different.
I mean, I don't think if you put, Michael Jordan would have to be number one, right? Like,
because they said even when they did like the Dream Team, like if you've seen that behind the scenes in that 30 for 30, nobody
like
the was
dudes from like Lithuania. Just they're like, take a picture of me guarding him.
Yeah, like nobody was there to see anybody else but Jordan. That was a dream. Everybody that played on that team, you and I would love to have a picture with any of them. John Stockton walked down the street in that documentary with a video camera and people had their picture on his shirt and they didn't know who he was. So that just lets you know how powerful Jordan was. He's not the most. Now, there's two things I want to take away from this. Number one, prior to this tournament, David Faraday said, if I can say one thing that pisses people off every golf tournament, I've accomplished my goal. Well, that did it right there. So you'd knock that out of the park. So there was a means behind the madness. Number two, has a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, I would say, because he was in the golf world in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. He was playing. He dealt with his addiction problems.
Sure.
So, yes, on the tour, Greg Norman was probably the most popular player on tour during Faraday's time of playing golf as well. So,
and
probably
Jack had waned away.
Yes.
In the 80s. He did win the Masters in 86.
Yes.
But like that was outrageous. Like nobody thought that would he was 47 or something like that. It was late in his 40s. And then so Greg Norman would have had to been it. He was the big name. He was the big name. I mean, he's the world number one for like 300 and some odd weeks. I mean, he was pretty much winning, you know, all the time, starting in 1984 all the way to 1997. So, like,
and even when he wasn't winning, he was blowing leads at Augusta, so people still knew who he was. He was still popular.
Sure, sure. But you got the Players, the two Opens, and then, I mean, he won 20 times in a span of, 13, 14 years. So,
has his own clothing line.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's popular.
All right. So, statements that would. All right. So, I think the key is the most recognizable athlete.
Right.
I think that's that. If it was one of, I don't think there's an argument. I don't think there's an argument that he's correct. If he says the most recognizable golfer, I don't think there's an objective he's wrong argument. I think it's simply the fact that he said the most recognizable athlete. And you know what? That's probably not what he was thinking. Like that's another thing is when you're in the moment like that, he probably thought he said one of the most, or he probably thought he was going to say golfer and athlete just came out. Like, you know what I mean? He probably does not truly believe that if you took a poll of everybody from the 80s and 90s and said, you know, who's your number one athlete, that Greg Norman would win the survey around the world. Like, he probably does not believe that, but he probably does believe golfer, you know, golfer.
I don't think he believes number one athlete. You're right. It's probably a slip of the tongue because he's even had Charles Barkley on a show that was used to be on Golf Channel before he took the Live gig. And so he even explained during that show what a huge fan he was of Barkley and how he was. He said during that show he was one of the most recognizable athletes to ever, you know, to ever be seen because he was on the Dream Team and he was round mound or rebound. I mean, he's recognizable to us because of his Auburn ties, but the rest of the world knew who he was too when he headed to Philly. He had shoes to fill with Dr. J heading out and him taking over. I think you're right. I think it was a slip of the tongue. I do think the way people are getting their panties bunched up over this is baffling to me because I told you, first thing I did, I screenshot, I sent it to my dad. I said, what's your take on this? And dad was like, because this was a little before my, I didn't start getting into golf until probably 1990. So the 80s, yeah, I probably watched it when dad was watching the majors on television, but I didn't really pay attention to it. But he told me, he said, oh, there's no doubt. And I think dad meant most recognizable golfer. So I think that's probably what Faraday may have meant. And it just came out as athlete. I don't know. I think that the butt hurt that's being shown over it is the thing that's being blown way out of proportion. Because it's like, okay, yeah, it's called the Walmart test. If you go down to Walmart in 1990 and show a picture of Greg Norman, how many people are going to know who he is? A lot of damn people.
A ton of people.
So,
a ton of people.
You know,
he's one of the most. He would be easily top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Easily top 10 most recognizable athletes around the world. Again, don't get caught up in just America or Norway and Sweden and those places. We're talking about around the world, okay? The whole globe.
Yeah, because there's other names, you know, Pele during that time that, you know, we know that name, and you and I, we've even said it's easier to have a penalty kick and win a soccer game than it is to make a putt. So we know who he is.
Way easier.
We're in so much trouble. Ron, dude, Ron, just think about, today is think be about so this. Mad at us.
Think about this. All right, 88 wins around the world in a span of about, let's see, 77 looks like it may have been his first win. So
that's the thing. Is
1977 to 1977 to 1997 is about 20 years. That's exactly 20 years. That looks not. He won a skins game in 2001 against Colin Montgomery and Jesper Parnovic. So let's just say 90. I mean, basically 21, 22 years. He won 88 times. So basically, he won about four times a year all around the world. Like I like there's people know this dude. Like people, and he won literally all over the place. Like
Austin. Just to put it in perspective, the recorded events. Now he does have some unsanctioned events too, just like Greg Norman does. Tiger's stuck on 82 with Sam Snead.
Now that's PGA Tour wins though.
That like, is so, that's PGA Tour wins. I get it. But
he's got 14 European Tour wins. So he's got 20 PGA Tour wins, 14 European Tour wins. Hey, if you just take those out, if you just take those right there, that's a pretty daggum solid career.
And who's to say that he wouldn't have had those PGA Tour wins? If you've seen that documentary, that was a different time than what Tiger came up in. And
yeah.
So he really had to work his ass off to get invited to play on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And so if he would have just now – kids are good, and you do like Rory. You grew up in Ireland. You just all of a sudden you move to the States and join the PGA Tour, and that was not the way it was.
And
when
he
Greg
still
was
played
up.
While he was on the PGA Tour. He still played on this Australasian tour a lot. I mean,
Australasian. That's pretty good.
I mean, that's what it says. That's what it says.
I know. Right I'm here. Just saying that's a very cool word. I'm going to use that word soon.
Australasia. I assume that's a mixture of Australia and Asia. No, I'm just taking a shot in the dark there. But no, I don't.
Geography think, expert strikes again.
Yeah, I don't think, again, this is a non-deal. This is a nothing. This is what they call a nothing burger. Like people getting upset about this. It's one of those things where we literally are just, we got somebody sitting there hanging on, writing down every single word you say so that we can somehow spin it or find something that you said wrong and then make it a huge story. It's you see it in politics, you see it in, you know, celebrities that screw up or whatever they want to try to cancel. That's what they're doing. They're trying to find something to, you know, cancel Greg Norman or cancel David Faraday. It's not even
or
that
to cancel
outlet.
Liv. It's not, so cool now to be anti-Liv. That you know what? I love golf, so I'm anti-Liv, so that's cool.
There, let me just tell you this. There is nothing Greg Norman can do there's nothing Greg Norman that can do that changes how good at golf and how big of an impact he had on professional golf. There's absolutely nothing he can do that changes how good he was in the 80s and 90s. Like, there's just not, there's nothing. There's nothing.
No.
There's no point you can come up with. There's nothing you can say to talk about how not good. There's nothing you can do to take away how good at golf
right.
he was and how great he was at that, in that period of time. So
I'm not comparing his play to him, but that's like Tiger in the late 90s and early 2000s. Even though he messed up and Elon chased him down with a club.
Nothing changes a thing.
Nothing changes how good he was during that stretch. Nothing changes that he showed up at the Open and whipped Ernie Els by 18 strokes out at Pebble Beach. Like, that just – nothing ever changes that, no matter how
if
much.
He goes, if Tiger goes to live for $1 billion, it
nothing
change.
Changes.
It would not change how great he was.
By the way, that invitation's still out there, by the way.
I think that's the only one out there right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is the only one. Greg Norman came out along with one of the investors and said they're taking – you know, last year it was our thing that we waited like every week, who's going to jump? Who's going to jump?
Yep.
At least once a month, if not every week. Especially towards the end, it was every week because that's what we were doing with Cam Smith. Like, which last win does he take before he jumps? That ain't happening this year. They have shut the roster down, except
for those
standing offer still goes
for Tiger yeah.
Woods.
He'll never
we got
do
$1 billion for you.
He'd never do it, but boy, that would hurt some feelings if he did.
How about that text I sent you that you laughed at after Tiger got tired at Riviera? And I was like, you know, could have played 54 and taken the billion. Been,
yeah, exactly.
Been solid.
He might have won.
Shotgun start. And
oh,
nothing
God.
But good weather. They don't have any cold weather on the live. Everything's good weather.
I still can't get over that shotgun start. Real quick, let's take a minute and give a shout out to Primo Golf Apparel.
Yes.
Guys, you just saw what's his name? It's Cole. What's his first name? Do you know his first name?
I have no idea. Remember we told you we were going to call him something else.
He was in the playoff at the Honda Classic. He was wearing jogger. I was like, man, those joggers look familiar. It's freaking Primo. He's wearing Primo joggers, the Primo polo. Dude looked sharp, played sharp, played great, went down in a lot, Kirk threw a dart on 18.
Just PXG guy, though. That's the only thing I don't like about him.
yeah, but you can look just like him. You can. They got joggers, polos, blade collars, hoodies, whatever you can imagine, shorts, whatever you can imagine, they got, and they're super affordable. Use coupon code DADPOD15, DADPOD15. Take 15% off your next order. Save big, look great, feel great, play great, hopefully. Regardless, you're going to look good. So even if you play like crap, you're still going to look good. So check them out. Show them some love.
And, Primo.
They'll love you back. Primo Golf Apparel.
I will say this. We didn't have this on the agenda to talk about tonight, but I did get into a little Twitter spat with a guy from Sports Illustrated who basically was making fun of the LIV Tour. And so I took a screenshot of the top 20 of the Honda Classic. And I said, please tell me which one of these household names besides Zach Johnson you actually know and know where they came from.
Yeah, I don't even.
Like, these people that were bashing the LIV, they were like, look at the no names on LIV. I was like, if you look at the top 20 of LIV, like, I know more of those players than who finished in the top 20 of the Honda.
I think Charles Howell would have walked the dog on anybody at the Honda Classic.
The way he was playing, yes.
That weekend. I think he would have absolutely
– and he didn't have a great tournament, but I will give Kyle credit. He texted me, and I firmly believe it, because if you watch him play, DJ is the number one player in the world. I mean –
I can't wait to see the majors because
– He just golfs his ball, man. It could be John Rahm and DJ coming down at the end at Augusta, at the PGA Championship, at the British Open, at the U.S. Open. We could legit – those are the two hot golfers right now.
Yeah.
And DJ just – it's almost like the more time he has off, the better he is.
He's so smooth.
He does not
It looks
hit
like
bad
it's,
shots.
It doesn't look like he's even trying. He's that – he's just –
if his
he's
putter's
that
working, forget it.
Oh, yeah. He's good. I mean, he hits it as far as anybody. He hits as straight as anybody. Wedges. He's got touch. He's got feel. I mean, he's 37, so like – theoretically, he's got a good, you know, he's got a good close to, you know, 8 years left of playing at an incredibly high level. Like he could easily win two or three more majors easily.
And other players know it. A couple of tournaments ago, it may have been before the Genesis, you heard the quote from Jordan Spieth where they said, "Do you miss anybody?" He said, "I miss DJ." He said he's
Right.
somebody that was great locker room guy. He was somebody that, you know, was fun to play with. He was fast paced. He didn't get in your way. He was very respectable of everybody else. And he's, as Jordan said, it's really fun to watch him hit a golf ball. Like, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so he's right about it. And he's not that short by any means. I mean, he's a guy that pokes it out of 300. But when you see him gawking and eyeing DJ, who's hitting bombs out of the 330, it's fun to watch, man.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Let's fight real quick. Let's just go ahead and fight. There was a collegiate, a girls' collegiate tournament, and there was a big stink over something that one player
No,
did.
there was a big nothing burger, just like there was with the previous argument we had.
Okay. I'll let you tell the story. Okay. I'll let you tell the story. And you got to tell
Right,
it
I'll
way
pull it
better
up.
than you told it to me because you didn't do a good job.
I did a great job. You agreed with me
No, I did not.
to start with.
Yeah, because I did not, because the story didn't sound right.
Granted, this is from Golf Magic. I'll go ahead and give them credit. They love to stir up controversy. So they
Yeah.
always find out who's pissed off and they interview them. They don't interview the people that aren't pissed, which, by
Yep.
the way, the player that this happened to, she wasn't pissed.
Well, she's not
Golf
going to say
fans
she's pissed,
on
but.
social media were, well, she didn't even show being pissed during the tournament. Like, she didn't be like, "What are you doing?"
Okay, tell the story. Tell the story.
There's a big thing about etiquette on a golf course. And this isn't a rule. This isn't something that you can't do. You can do. But there's always the thing about walking through people's lines. However, that's, and walking through the through line on the other side of the hole. But there's not really a rule about after they putt, walking in front of them to catch a glimpse at the reed. You see most players walk behind. Now, you can't stand behind them because this is a rule. You have to be at, I think it's a 90-degree angle in order to, and then that's why you see players walk in because they can't just, like we do in a scramble, they can't stand right behind them and read the putt. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So at the Darius Rucker, which Auburn is a part of right now, by the way, they're in fourth as they head in day two. Scofield leads the way. She's individual leader.
I
So
saw her doing the interview the other day. That's awesome.
go get them Tigers. We hope she does well. She shot 4 under yesterday. I'm not sure what she shot today. Walking in somebody's sight line while the ball is in motion, this guy Bill Davis, who's a caddy, said, "Lifetime ban." Again, a bit extreme. And so what happened was, this looks to be, Kyle, I don't know, 25-foot putt.
Yeah.
And the opposing player, the collegiate player, is standing at her 90-degree angle. Her playing partner, because even though they're playing against one another, it's still a team event. And so playing partner putts, and instead of walking behind her, she walks in front of her to get a read.
Yeah.
Now, you're going back on it because you said you didn't like it. But the first thing when I told you this, and I didn't give you all the details, but the first thing you said, well, what about the 300 other people that walked through that line on that day?
Okay,
No,
so
nobody's bitching about that.
that's different. That's different.
Okay. I just had to throw that out there.
Okay.
Let me
If
finish.
you
Let me
walk through
finish.
my line, here's the deal. If I haven't putt yet and you walk through my line, I could not care less. Okay?
Right.
Because unless we're the first group out, there's going to be hundreds of people that have walked on that line, okay, throughout the day. It doesn't change anything. So if you walk on my line before I putt the ball, there's nothing that could bother me less. I don't think there's anything that could bother me. It could not bother me less if that happens.
I don't
Okay.
disagree with that. I do like the fact that, like, when I'm getting ready to putt, if you're walking to your ball, you'll make like a semi effort to take like an extra long stride. Like, you won't, you know,
Which is stupid. The more I think about it,
you're
you
not
lose
gonna
it.
just, well, at least you're not shuffling your feet right in front of me like
Yeah.
some of the people I've seen do. So anyway, putts are 25-foot putt. By the way, it goes in. She
I
makes the
saw that.
putt.
She makes the putt. So let me,
But the
let's just break
player,
this down. Let's break this down what happened. Okay. Girl putts a ball. As she's watching it go in, girl B stands in her line, blocks her field of vision from seeing the putt. How? I don't know how
she. That is wrong. She did not block her field of vision. Like, okay, I'm watching it again. She saw it go in.
Then what are we talking about?
She should have just never walked in front of her. She did not block anything. Even the girl said afterwards, she said, no, I saw the putt go in. If it would have gone past the hole, I would have seen.
Regardless, she got in front of the other girl. She got in between. She got in between the girl and the cup. If you did that while my ball was rolling, I'm a very peaceful guy. That would piss me off.
I can't wait to replay next time.
I would say, what are you doing? I would be like, what the hell are you doing? Okay. Like, let the ball get in the, like, what do you want me to do? You want me to come putt yours for you? Is that what you want me to do? Nobody does that. Nobody does that at any level. I've never seen that done. I have played hundreds, maybe thousands of rounds of golf. Okay.
Yes. No,
I have never, ever in my whole life seen that done. I've never seen it done ever.
I haven't either, but when I watch it over, I don't understand, again, like we talked about before, the outcry.
Well, then why have you never seen it?
Because you know why, Ben?
Because nobody's ever seen that happen before. That is the first time in recorded golf life that somebody's been that stupid to do that in somebody's line.
Have we not said advance the game? I mean, they got to make some changes, Kyle.
You can walk on my line. You can sit down on my line. You can do whatever you want to do. Take a shot, take a beer funnel, do a keg stand, whatever, before I putt. If you walk over, like if you walk between me and the ball before the ball gets there, especially if we're playing in a match or something like that, I don't fight a lot. I don't know that I've really ever gotten a fight. That might cause a ruckus. That might cause a ruckus with me.
I just don't get why you're so upset. You sound like this guy. I don't care that the putt was already hit. No reason to walk in front of someone who's still trying to read a putt. Okay, she wasn't. By that time,
Ben,
she already
passed it, turned 46 in 2 days. You've played golf longer.
Thousands of times. Yes.
Way longer than me. And you've never seen that happen because it's never even crossed somebody's mind because it's the most –
Okay, let me retract my statement. I don't know that I've never seen it happen. I do wonder if it's happened. I've looked back on it, and I'm like, I do wonder if some of my buddies have done that to me. But I wonder if they did it to me to try to F with me. I don't know.
No, they've never done it because they're not all douchebags.
He said, this caddy said, a lot of people here are saying, oh, she already hit. It doesn't matter. You hit a putt. I'm watching it all the way to the hole to see how the true read was. It absolutely matters. The player has the ability to watch the putt until it stops. If she misses the putt, should be able to watch how it rolls past the hole.
That's what I'm saying.
It said, this was completely disrespectful. Sorry move on the competitor side. Then they dropped Jesus's name. I never thought of doing that. Can't believe seeing that at the collegiate level. I would cut someone for less. This is criminal.
You know what?
You and this dude need to – y'all are in the same camp, man.
I'm with him on that. I'm with him. Because I've never seen it happen before. I've never even – because I know how I've walked behind people before after they putt. I would never – like what if you block their vision and the ball goes past the hole and you can't see how it rolls past the hole?
But that's the thing. She didn't. She kept walking.
She didn't
block her vision.
I've never seen it happen before. This is the first time in recorded history. I think this has happened on the golf course.
I think my issue that I would have had
with someone that was not have some sort of mental disorder.
I think the issue that I had when you watch the clip again, because I've sat here and I watched it like five times as you and I've been talking. I think the issue I would have had is if she would have got there, and you've seen it like done in movies, and she would have stopped in the line and blocked her and watched the putt. That would have bothered me.
Yeah,
but the fact that she literally walked at a brisk pace past the ball, past the line, was nowhere near the ball when the ball got like 3 feet from the cup, she would have still seen the through line at the end. The player would have. I think it was just something different that caught people off guard. And there's some people like Kyle Rush that just had their panties in a wad over this.
I mean, it takes a lot to ruffle me on the golf course. I'm telling you, I'm the most non.
You know what I love about this the most?
What's that?
You have shown your hand, and when we have a game on the line, I am walking in front of that damn ball just as fast as I can.
Oh, it's going to make me mad.
If it comes down to 18 and it's between me and you.
You're going to have to do it twice because the first time I'm going to laugh my ass off when you do it. The second time I'm going to be like, all right, now cut that shit. And it's going to get – the first time I'm going to literally laugh so hard when it happens. And the second
you
time –
you won't know. I'm going to hold it back. Yeah. I'm not going
to
do it right
now. You need to do it like a year from now.
Yeah, it's fresh on your mind right now. But, yeah. We're going to have a close match, and it's going to come down to like 16, 17, or 18. You're going to have about a 15-foot putt, and I'm going to F with you so bad, I'm gonna walk right in front of you.
Well, at least let the putt get going, like before you do whatever you got to do.
Well, that's what she did.
But again, you doing it to be funny is one thing. If you were to like walk and like kind of, if we're playing in a match and I'm sort of on your line and you do that and you like camp out in my line after the ball's rolled by to watch the line, like that's so like
I will say there's a difference between me and you doing it, Jordan and JT doing it, Tiger and JT doing it, and kind of giving each other a wink and a nod. And these two players that don't know each other, that are playing in a collegiate tournament, that have never met one another, and them doing it. Like
we start our club match play. We start our club match play, and today's March 1st, right?
As this airs.
You're listening, this is March 1st. So we start our club match play, which is like it lasts until you do like one match a month. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this to somebody. I can already tell. I've got this.
And you got a person picked out?
No, because we get ran. It's a random like tournament bracket. So it's got to be the right person, but I'm going to get somebody and we're going to do this.
Number one, I'm doing this to Nate at some point.
I believe this would totally mind F somebody. Like it would completely, they're like, wait, what just happened?
I'm doing this to Nate. I'm doing this to one of the friends of Pro. I'm doing this to Brewer at some point.
I got one that I'm going to do it to that will say something.
Yes.
I won't Brewer, say his name.
Even though he and I are not the greatest
but he
friends,
listens.
Like we do know one that he lists. Like if I do it to him, he's going to be so mad with me. Like he may not talk to me the rest of the round.
I got a good one in mind that I may do this to.
So at least, see, if we've gotten anything from this, you figured out a little needle that you can give somebody in the upcoming future. Because
for me, now, you found this girl, that is the only needle I think I have.
I will say this. If that's what this girl was doing, was to throw the girl off her game, congratulations on bombing a 25-foot putt and hitting center cup.
Oh, yeah.
And giving her the middle finger and being like, you know what? There you go. Suck it. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Girls say that too sometimes.
No. Yes, they do.
Oh man, do we even have like where can we go with a scenario on that? Like we got it. We got to hit it with a scenario after we talk about blue tees, range finders. Uh-huh. So, guys, I can't say enough about these things. Today I was, or the last time we played, I was with a dude that had the best highest end one you can have. The Bushnell, and we're in the same cart, same distance. His can't lock on. Boom. We got a yardage. It could have been the person doing it, having some issues doing it, but
well, he can't scan with that. Let me just tell you that.
But I mean, the point is we have two range finders. Mine probably costs half of what his costs. And I used my coupon code DADBOD, took another 10% off. I got toggle on and off slope. I can buzz lock on the pin from anywhere. I can flip it to scan mode, shoot bunkers, shoot trees, landmarks, know how far I am away from things. And I mean, it looks cool too. It just looks good too. So it's a great product. I think everybody has to have a rangefinder to play
golf. The magnet is clutch, by the way. The
magnet's great. You got to have a rangefinder to play golf fast, to play golf well, and to get better. You got to have one. So why not go get one? that has all the top end features, but you don't pay the top end price. So Blue Tees, range finders, check them out. Don't forget your coupon code DADVOD and save big. So
let me tell you this story really quick.
Hit it.
It's a Blue Tees story. The last time we played Shoal, by the way, Kyle was invited Flex. To play that day. He did not do it.
Flex.
But the last time we played it, the caddy that I had saw the pink box that I had on my bag because I got the
pink box.
Yes, I got the pink Blue Tees. We all got different colors. Kyle went with traditional masculine blue, and I went with the typical. I have two daughters. Go ahead and give me pink, and I'm going to flex on you because whenever I say boom, MF or pass Kyle off the tee, I love to flex a little bit. So,
Got it.
So the caddy said he had the brand you were talking about in his, because they all carry, though, that's what they try to give you yardage when you're out there on the course. And he said, do you mind if I use this one? He said, since you're used to it, he said, I'll use yours if that's okay. Dude was totally impressed. First one he'd ever used. He loved the scan mode. He loved the fact that it locked on. He loved that. He loved the magnet. He kept it. Since I can't hit a 3-iron worth of damn, it basically stayed hooked on my 3-iron the entire time we were playing.
It's effective.
Because they carry your bags.
Yeah.
And so he absolutely loved it. So, yeah, if caddies at very nice courses are using those and they're loving it, it is a brand that you should think about using. Blue Tees. Blue Tees Golf is where the rangefinders begin.
Begin and end. They should. That's where it should end. All right, scenario. Let's just make one up right now.
Oh, my gosh. You're better at this than I am because I'm always like – I will say this while you're thinking about it. I was shocked at the responses that we got that they agreed with me that you could play left-hand. Like
I know. There was a bunch of people said they would just take left-hand. I don't know that I could start over.
I love one of the ones, and I don't remember his name. He commented on the YouTube, and he did say
– said take a lesson.
He said, listen, might as well do it. That's a total reset. You can get rid of bad habits. You can go ahead and start fresh. Take lessons. Start left-handed. I still think that in 6 months I can break 100. I still think I can, or go to jail. One of the two.
I've never seen you swing a club left-handed, so I'm kind of judging it on me. I can't make I've tried. I can't really make contact. Period. Like it's. I don't know what it is. It would be tough. So let's try this. Okay. Ben, favorite shot? It could be a shot. What's your favorite thing about golf, like that keeps you coming back?
Oh, unlike most people that talk about the big drives or the iron play, you know me, I'm a big wedge guy and a putting guy. I mean, if I play in a round where, and I did it the other day because I told Kyle I had zero doubles. The reason I had zero doubles, I actually made a couple of 15 and 20 footers for either par or bogey in order to not have a double. I'm big on if I'm rolling it 10 feet beyond and I feel very confident, like the thing looks like a, almost like a water pitcher down there, like I'm just rolling it in.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I want an emergency nine. I want to keep playing. I don't care how bad I'm hitting it off the tee. I don't care how bad my irons are. Just get me to the green. I feel like I can make it. It's got to be the putter. It's with me. Putter.
Okay.
It's got to be the putter.
Okay. All right. So the scenario is you suck at that really bad.
Okay.
Okay.
Which does happen from time to time. Yeah, Kyle has seen that. It has gone off the rails.
Like it's awful. It's awful. The thing that you wake up one day and you just can't do it and you can never get it back for whatever reason. Would that get you to the point where you would ever, you can't get out of it? There's no Ben Taylor out of this. Okay. Like all of a sudden you can't hit putts. Like you may two putt some greens. You're never hardly ever going to one putt. You're going to three putt a bunch. Would that just get you to the point where you would ever quit golf?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen how many times I've saved par, saved bogey to keep from having a double. I mean, that's probably the weapon in my bag that can keep me alive and keep me sub 85. Definitely, it was sub 80 this past week. There's no chance I shoot 79 this week without the putter.
What if
no chance.
What if like the putter would never work, but you could pull out a three wood. Like you had to putt with a three wood. Would that be fun?
Oh, I could definitely putt with my 60. I could belly a 60 all day long. You could take the putter out of my bag and I would still be comfortable with a 60.
Would that be fun to play around a golf, like play around
the
golf?
Yes, to watch you be so upset when I made birdie putts with a 60-degree wedge.
You're never going to make a birdie putt with a 60-degree wedge. Come on, man. I've never seen it. Now there's a difference between a tap in on like a chip up on a par five, but a 5-6 footer, it's never going to happen.
So I will say this, the last time we played, not this past time I played SOG, but I played before, I played with John and Bobby and another gentleman. And I was ticked off because I was in the woods and I had to punch out. And then I went up with a wedge and I had a par putt from about probably 20, 25 feet. And I ran it in with my 60-degree wedge. And John said, "Did you effing see that?" And Bobby was like, "Yeah, that's pretty typical. I'm not even going to pay attention to it."
I got to see it. Picks or it didn't happen. Video or it didn't happen. So for me, I don't know. I get a ton of satisfaction from hitting drives, like with a three wood or a driver. If you took those completely out of my bag and I could only play the game with irons, I would probably still play, but I would get way less. I think I'd get way less enjoyment out of it. I think I might be better. I might be a better golfer, but I would probably get way less enjoyment out of it. Like I would not want to go play every single day if I knew I had to go. All I could hit was like a 4-iron off the tee.
No, there's a guy that he doesn't understand why I don't do this. I'm fairly decent with basically 6-iron in, definitely with 8-9 wedges. I mean, you've seen the wedges from time to time. And he's told me, he's like, because he's seen how many bad shots I've hit with 5-irons and 4-irons and 3-woods.
Yeah.
Off the tee's fine. You've seen me off the tee. Off the tee, I can get out there. But he has told me, he goes, he was a junior golfer, probably could have played collegiate golf, but instead was a soccer guy, so he wanted to do that instead. And he's told me, he's like, "Why do you even carry a 5, a 4, or a 3 hybrid?" He's like, "You should just know your game. Know that you should hit your tee ball out there 250, 260 like you do, and then find a way to manufacture par from there, whether it's a 8-iron down the middle of the fairway and a wedge in and hope to make a par putt or to make, you know, at least bogey at the worst." He's like, "You get yourself in so much trouble pulling out a 5-iron, 4-iron, 3-hybrid, or 3-wood, where from the fairway, I'll spray it out in the woods somewhere and have to punch out." And I'm like, I guess I'm just a middle midget. But he's told me, he's like, "You could legit break 80 if you would throw those clubs in your bag away." Just
what could you add? Could you add anything to your bag to make it?
I've often thought, because years ago, I used to hit a 5-wood, like a 5 or a 7-wood, instead of hitting. I've gotten to where I cannot hit a hybrid anymore. I've taken it out of my bag. I cannot hit a hybrid.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm lowering my shoulder. It's like it's too light or something. I keep catching it fat. Like there's no point in carrying it. And then I try to overcorrect and I just scull it down the fairway 150 yards and I might as well lay up with an 8-iron if I'm going to do that. So,
it's an interesting thought experiment.
So,
what could you do?
I do wonder. I mean, DJ, he's now carries a 7-wood. DJ. Here's a 7-wood.
That thing seems like that feels like it would just spin like forever.
I think that's why he carries it. I think he carries it because he can hit it like a 3-iron, but the 3-iron is going to jump forward and that 7-wood, he can legit almost back up, I think.
Probably.
So I think that's why he carries it. So I guess that's the middle midget portion of me where it's like, okay, so now you're relying on gimmicks in order to perfect your golf game. But instead, I should probably just rely on what works, regardless of what it is.
I want to go play a whole round and never hit a driver and see what happens.
You'd be fine because you hit your 3-wood far enough and you hit your
Never hit a wood, period. Just hit 4-iron the whole time. See what would happen.
We got a buddy that I need to take to play with us. He has a driver in his bag. I've never seen him hit it. He hits 4-iron off the tee.
So boring.
He, He legit hits it. He's right behind me. When he hits it good, he's right behind me. So he hits it. Hits it 230. I mean,
I can't hit it that far, but I could probably hit it. You know, I could hit it pretty consistently between 200 and 220. I would think.
But if you're always going to hit it straight, like think of the trouble you get yourself in whenever you start blocking it, and you get yourself, you start cutting it high and out. I mean,
it's just no fun. I don't know.
That's.
But then again, like, what if you go out there and you just don't shoot higher than 75? That'd be pretty damn fun, I think.
I know. That's the thing, is that's what he told me. My buddy told me, he's like, you could break 80 every time if you would get rid of those clubs.
So shoot, you would shoot seven. You would take it if you would only putt with a 60 if you could break 80.
I wouldn't say break 80, but if I could shoot 75 or better I'd break my putter over my knee
and just putt with a 60. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Good deal, man. Well, we all got to get better.
Plus, that saved me money because putters are expensive now. So,
yeah, they are. Trust me. Trust me. I know all about it. Hey, I got a few. If you need any, just let me know. All right. Y'all have a great rest.
He's got a few, and I keep texting him going, hey, I want to buy this putter, knowing I'm never going to use it. I just want to buy it just to have it in my bag.
I got to show you one I got. I'm going to send you a text when we get off.
See?
I got to show you one.
And that's going to make me want to go buy another one, and I'm not going to use – because I keep using the same damn Laguna putter I've been using for years. But I've got – there. Look, there's a bag behind me. It has six putters in it.
Love it. I got
one
for
you. You know what? This is upstairs, and it never goes downstairs. I don't use any of them.
There you go. All right. Y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk soon. It's episode 269 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and we're always
croaking. 69-ing.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.